Alrighty, let's rock this thing. 3, 2, 1. Today is Monday? No, it's not. It's March. Thursday, March the 7th, 64th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is Humboldt County Sheriff and all-around nice guy.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, well, it's because he's got the gun. He's a nice guy. Mike Downey, how you doing?
Good, and you?
Better.
Good.
Today's been better than yesterday.
Good.
So, yeah, we might make
anything
it to tomorrow.
Anything I can do to help.
Did you bring the checkbook from the department?
Yeah, that's not going
to
be a
help. Yeah, you don't want to help that badly then. you guys have seemed to be halfway busy this week in the crime and mayhem business.
Yes.
So we'll kind of do a little bit of run around on that one, particularly, I won't give it away.
Okay.
All right. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, we'll be back with Mike Downey.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and information time. It's 312, 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mike Downey, but before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from George Eliot.
Very nice.
Really? You recognize the name?
Sure.
Oh, I have no idea. Quote, "Blessed is the man who, having nothing to say, abstains from giving us worldly advice of fact."
Very good.
Yeah. You know, some of the public hearings and stuff that you get to be involved with, whether it's an active role or a passive role, I bet you could apply that every once in a while, huh?
Every once in a while, sure. I'd be glad to.
So, you know, is that a segue into talking about the marijuana initiative?
It's your program.
It works for me. I don't know about it for you. What, Mike, with that, with the attempt to really figure out where we are with marijuana in California, has there been any recognition, any realization, any settling at all with the relationship between the locals, the state, and the feds?
No. You know, this whole issue and what we find is counties statewide running around trying to figure out what to do with this truly a state issue. It was the, you know, Proposition 215 was a state initiative that the people in the state of California voted for.
But not with clear boundaries.
Exactly. It was a very poorly written piece of legislation, if you ask me. Now we're talking about 1996. We're looking at 17 years later, and the state has still not come up with any kind of guidelines that is really their responsibility to do.
Is it because nobody's pushing them, or they don't have a clue?
Well, I think it's a number of things. I think they don't want to. I think it's an issue that is so divided through the state. You have very conservative areas of the state, very liberal areas of the state, those in between, large population bases, small population bases, and you have all these legislators who come together. And I think, and I just there's no will to deal with the issue. And I think that is exactly where it needs to be, because what we find now is confusion. Everyone's trying to do their own thing, trying to come up with some type of way of legislating or dealing with it. County of Mendocino comes up with a very unique, innovative solution, and now they're under scrutiny by the federal government.
my recollection of high school civics is probably less than Ellis Williamson would like it to be, considering how he was a teacher. However, it seemed that the feds superseded the state, superseded the county, superseded the city.
Right.
Okay. That's pretty black and white. That's pretty straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever a state wants to do until there's enough to have a constitutional amendment as a result, it gets trumped.
Right.
What am I missing in that?
Well, I don't think you're missing anything. A lot of this is being gone through trial by error as we go. We look at the states of Washington and Colorado with the recent passages of their initiatives, which legalizes the recreational use of marijuana in public. You know, and that's fresh. That's within the last year. There's going to be challenges that come into that. I think you're going to see here in the near future where the federal government, mainly the State Department, is going to come down with – not State Department, Justice Department – come down with some type of –
Could be the state, too. Could
be.
It depends on the sales tax.
Yeah,
right?
It could be. But, they're going to come down with some guidelines and some directives. I think you're going to see states of Washington and Colorado come under some kind of scrutiny also. God knows California has been for a number of years over this issue.
Now, by scrutiny, you mean differing levels of enforcement?
Yes. That's what I think is coming. I think that's gonna happen. If not that, at least there's gonna be some type of court challenges that are on their way. You should be assured that's gonna happen. And again, that came out in the board meeting on Tuesday. The CAO Phil Smith Haynes was very clear to the board that whatever you pass, be assured that it will be challenged. That you will be sued.
So why bother? Why spend time? Why have a discussion? Why put something down that you know is going to be challenged? And then why do it because you know there's going to be legal fees associated with that?
I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that they want to show that they're at least trying to do something. And again,
to who?
Well, to the voters in the state, in Humboldt County. I'm not saying anything derogatory about anybody in county government, but again, the state is abdicating their responsibility back down to the county, and there's no legitimate or logical reason why the state of California doesn't step up and come up with some guidelines. They have made feeble attempts along the way, but they've never come up with some guidelines. It's like burying your head in the sand, I'm confused.
I was with you there until you said sand.
Mm-hmm. All right, potting soil. I don't know.
yeah, that's where I was. Is there any indication coming out of Sacramento that there's going to be any decision, or are each of the counties kind of out there swinging in the breeze?
That's what you got. Just what you said there. I see no movement by the state of California. I'm very involved in California State Sheriff's Association. We have our lobbyists there always working with the state legislature, looking at what's coming up, bills that are coming forward, and there's nothing. There's nothing out there.
KINS News and Information time is 3:19. We'll be back with more from Mike Downey.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. If you have a dog or plan to add one to your family, you'll want to know about the Humboldt Dog Obedience Group, or HumDog for short. HumDog, a nonprofit organization, began in 1978 and is run by 50 volunteers. Its purpose is to teach dogs good citizenship. HumDog conducts classes nearly every Monday evening throughout the year at Redwood Acres. There are puppy training classes, basic training for dogs over 6 months old, and more advanced classes. The modest fees are used to pay the rent and professional trainers. Each session lasts an hour. HumDog also puts on two annual events, the Dog Expo in March and the Dog Agility Trial in August. Both draw crowds of dog lovers. For those who apply for funds to spay or neuter their dog, HumDog has a special fund that may be able to help. See their website, www.humdog.org. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 3:23. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mike Downey. Mike, considering some of the different levels of interpretation of marijuana law,
mm-hmm.
and where we are. We've gone through the zoning stuff with the resale side, the zoning stuff with some of the medicinal locations. You guys show up and you see people's collections of their 215 cards, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Is any of this stuff working?
Yeah, you know, I think to some extent, I think the thing that is working that I see is that people with inside this county, anyway, I can't speak for other counties, are getting an idea, a better picture of the issues out there, and especially with the advent of the environmental impacts that marijuana is having on our county. And I think I see people that years ago that I thought were very liberal about the marijuana laws are now saying, you know what, this person is truly operating outside the scope of 215, and I see people becoming more upset about that. So I think all in all, I think the county is as a whole is a little more educated on the trials and the problems that we as law enforcement see in the field, and how it is affecting the way that we work on these issues.
That's the thing, I guess, that I am beginning to sense, that there's a separation or a delineation within the marijuana community, where you've got the old hippie that's just mm-hmm. growing for themselves. You've got the plantation. You've got the environmental degradation issue. So the environmentalist now isn't necessarily pro-marijuana or anti-marijuana. But now we're starting to get into things that sound like building codes, zoning ordinances,
yeah.
general plan updates. Right. Does Humboldt County have the, I guess the current vernacular is stones, to step up and to have a land use called marijuana growing and have it zoned like we have the retail and like we have all these other things? And I mean, if we're going to step up or lay it out, doesn't that really do it?
Well, I don't know if we're quite there yet. You know, it's like with this latest ordinance that they're looking at. It has to do with a nuisance ordinance, abatement of nuisance. And it doesn't really, I mean, of course, marijuana is named because that is the catalyst for the nuisance. But it's based upon violation of ordinances that, like you just said, building ordinances, land use ordinances, water, taking of water, those types of things. And many of those things are already covered. We already have ordinances to deal with that. So this is what's kind of confusing if we try to compartmentalize these issues as marijuana-related, a whole new set of ordinances with marijuana-related issues that were formerly land use issues anyway. Is our enforcement going to be any more effective because now it's marijuana-based than it has been with just normal ordinance issues? Where's the enforcement come from?
Almost a redundancy.
Yeah, how do we differentiate between this is a land use issue with someone who's built an illegal structure or added onto their house illegally, but this one is a land use issue because someone is illegally grading for a marijuana grow. So is enforcement going to be at a different level for each one of these?
Or is the penalty the same?
Yeah, or is the penalty the same? Those are all things that are, they should be, I guess, if we're looking truly at the ordinance-based part of it.
So we're going to have an additional element in the general plan update called marijuana-related stuff?
I don't know. I don't know.
Almost sounds like that would be a logical extension of this. But is that really what they're trying to do, or is it just more of a philosophical kumbaya moment?
Well, I think the intent is trying to give more tools to law enforcement or the enforcing agency, whether it be code enforcement, to be able to deal with these issues more effectively. But the issues are already there; they already exist, and the ordinances already exist too. So it's a work in progress. You know, I think there's still a lot of work needs to be done on this.
That's so you think something positive is going to come out of this process rather than just
I hope so. The county's putting a lot of time into this. Now we're going to go out to the community and get community input. Hopefully something good could come out of it. I don't know if anything will be in effect anytime soon, But hopefully we can get some good feedback and come out with some ideas that might help us to effectively deal with it. But the problem is these grading ordinances, illegal structure ordinances that are being violated every year, we see them every year. It's being able to have a competent enforcement component that can go out and do the enforcement or abatement that needs to be done.
And that one's not in the budget?
That is a lacking part of it. Part of this ordinance is to have the sheriff's office become part of the law enforcement end of this.
Well, it's almost like being a tax collector then. You could have the same thing, serving subpoenas and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
Sounds dandy for the full employment for the sheriff's department. But if you don't have staff, who cares? If you don't have the bucks, who cares? And if you don't have room in the Hilton, who really cares? I did it. I'll volunteer. Sign me up. Okay. We'll see you in a year and a half next time we cross paths.
Yeah. So, that's why this thing is evolving. Hopefully those components will be filled in as we go.
You sound lukewarm on the probability of that being there.
I'm just watching. I'm watching to see what happens. I'm not, one way or the other on it, but I'll watch and see, and I'll participate as I can.
Fair enough. KINS, news and information time, it's 3:30.
This is Fred Van Fleck, Eureka City Schools Superintendent. Exciting new things are happening in our district next year. Reducing our kinder through third grade class size to 23-1. Eliminating our combination classes in the reopening of Winship Middle School. Remember, we are the largest district on the North Coast, allowing us to have the most diverse course in extracurricular offerings. Enrollment is happening now. Please stop by the district office across from Eureka High School or visit the website at eurekacityschools.org.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Humboldt County Sheriff and guy in the know, Mike Downey.
we'll see.
Yeah. Well, you can either say N-O
or
K-N-O-W. The man in the know, right?
All right.
Okay. Earlier this week, we had the kid hitting the crosswalk.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was Mike Downey. No, it wasn't Mike Downey. Shit, you're Mike Downey. This would have been Dick Johnson, who was killed. Mm-hmm. His comment yesterday was talking about the fact that it'll be interesting to see if this person is prosecuted to the same extent because they had marijuana in their system as if, or in comparison to if they had alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
What sense do you have as we're talking about this marijuana initiative and all these other things? Is there a two-tiered system? An incident is caused by a drunk driver or an incident is caused by somebody high on marijuana?
Well, by California law, they're both under the influence and are treated the same, as far as I know, as far as sentencing guidelines and going to court and being prosecuted and being arrested and all the other things. So I would think that would be held at the same standard. Again, a lot of that depends on toxicology reports to show the level of intoxication.
Say same level of impairment.
Uh-huh.
You think it's being treated the same?
I don't know. I hope. Hopefully it would be.
Yeah, when we hear somebody is drunk and hits somebody in a crosswalk, ton of bricks, right? That's kind of the...
Right.
Okay. High on marijuana.
Well, you said it
just have the same emotional.
Well, you said it yourself. Lunch. You just said same level of impairment.
Same, whatever.
Well, that and impairment, whether it be from alcohol, marijuana, methamphetamine, whatever. It wouldn't be quite the same with methamphetamine. But what I'm saying, whatever the substance
probably wouldn't
is,
be driving. You would have ripped the steering wheel off
yeah,
the car, right?
Yeah. But whatever the substance is, if they have the same level of impairment due to the ingestion of that substance, then it should be treated equally, I would think.
0.02 is one drink in 1 hour, right?
Yeah, roughly.
Ish.
Yeah.
Okay. What is a marijuana cigarette?
That I couldn't tell you. I have no idea.
A standard size.
I should have said. I should have said
those big cigar things.
I should have said no. You said I said man, no. I could say no. Yeah, I really don't know what the toxicology levels are and how that would equate.
I've never heard a reference to X number of reefers or joints or cigarettes.
I'm sure there's an expert out there. There's experts in the field that could give some idea, and then based upon, you know, analysis of, they could probably give you some idea, but I'm not sure what that would be.
As the county, state is going through this initiative process, I'm sure that there are some folks who just want to have clarity, mm-hmm. as you discussed. There are others who probably want a pound of flesh.
Yes.
And there are others that think that it's harmless, nothing ever bad comes from it.
Right.
In spite of what happened this week in Eureka.
Right.
Will there be consensus?
I don't know if there'll be consensus on any of that. I think this issue, this marijuana issue, is long from over or being decided at any level. You said it yourself, the big bad bear in the woods is still there. We don't know, you know, there is a federal mandate, and I'm telling you right now, it is a mandate. You talk to any of the federal folks in the state of California, and all the U.S. attorneys, there's four of them in the state of California, have publicly said and have come out that they will aggressively, on the federal level, go after marijuana cultivation and sales. I mean, there's no way around that. Now, with that said, they don't have the resources to go after every one, but you can be assured there's going to be cases out there that are going to be taken to the federal level, and the federal government is going to flex their power to deal with this.
So did Mendocino County simply overstep the boundaries that they had any real thought, or should have had any thought, that they could make a deal with? Or did the feds, after agreement, then come in and kneecap them?
Well, I don't think there's ever any agreement with the feds. I believe the biggest problem was not so much that I think it was the permitting process, the process of placing a value on how much a permit would cost, and then actually collecting revenue off of it. I think that's where the biggest rub came from. There are other counties that have. There's a difference between supposedly a permitting process and a registering process. Permitting has a connotation that the county or that entity is saying, yes, we agree, and you should be able to do this, and we're giving you permission to do this. Where registering is basically a registry collecting information with the knowledge that this activity is taking place, but not necessarily saying you can do it, but having the information and knowing that you are doing it, so then when a complaint comes in, we can investigate that complaint and say, yes, we already know about this operation, and they understand the guidelines, and so forth and so on. So there is a difference between the two, and I think that people learned a lot from that Mendocino model, even though it was a good model. I personally think it took care of a lot of issues, and it also helped Mendocino County with enforcement of marijuana laws in general. And see, this is the innovative part of it that I've been talking about, where the state is being reluctant to get involved, and counties are now having to make up their own way through the wilderness, so to speak.
It's too bad that the state doesn't pay any attention to what's going on, because I would think that if they had a determination, then DOJ has got one entity to deal with instead of 59. I figure the state's still in there somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, they may be on the outside looking in. Okay. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:42. We'll be back with more from Mike Downey.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mike Downey. Mike, heard couple weeks or so, some discussions about the potential, again, of revisiting Consolidated Dispatch.
Yeah.
Fire did it. I wouldn't think that it would be tough to have that step done.
No, I actually started talking to Dave Tyson about this a couple, 2 years ago, year and a half ago. So it's something that we've been discussing, but not publicly, just waiting for the right time. And now with the changes that are happening within Eureka, I know that Mike Newman, the city councilman, came out publicly in a meeting here a few weeks ago and talked about the theory of consolidated dispatch. And I began to get calls from the press about that and confirmed that there have been discussions about it. We're not in any active discussions right now, but I think we're going to be here before too long. The idea is one that is happening all over the state of California and nationwide, a consolidation of resources. Instead of having in the city of Eureka two separate dispatch centers, why not have one?
Now, I can recall three sheriffs back that the systems weren't compatible. The coding wasn't the same. The verbiage was different. The jargon was, you know, and all the various impediments if you had two different systems and cultures trying to come together. Is that still the case, or have things changed, and is everybody more in step with one another?
I think we're more compatible today than we were then, and a lot of that, the old school was more reluctant to look at that type of a situation. You have Shasta County, which did it at about 15, 20 years ago, and there were growing pains with that. And we watched those growing pains and kind of shied away from it at one time. But it's ingrained over there now. It's very historical. They have a solid path that they've taken, and it's working for them. I think it's something that can work for Humboldt County, especially for the Sheriff's Office and Eureka Police Department, and eventually maybe the whole county would want to join in on that. And today, with budgets the way they are, consolidation of services is the way to go.
Has the budget reality allowed for some of those turf battles or the walls to not dissipate, but be weakened?
Oh, I think so. I think so. You know, we have another duplication in the city, between the city and the county. We have two offices of emergency services within the city of Eureka, and that's one of the thing. And that's one of the things I've talked about too, is combining those two centers and having one instead of two. So there's redundancy built in a lot of places that don't need to be there. We see consolidation happening within the county over the years. You know, a sheriff now has animal control, now has OES, and presumably they didn't have that. We've absorbed the marshal's office years ago. So consolidation is something that's not new to Humboldt County, but it's just an ongoing evolution. And I think we're going to see those services continue to be consolidated.
It seems to have worked out also. I mean, not just slamming two things together, but actually it works,
right?
I would think, if you're looking at dispatch consolidation, what kind of timeline are you, next 5 years, next 2 years?
Depends on how serious we get. You know, you could see something within 2 years. It depends on how serious we get, get to doing that. Look, I had lunch with Ken Woods today. We talked about the fire district and the city of Eureka coming together. There's an excellent example of consolidation.
You didn't tell him that he needs to paint his new fire truck black and white now, did you?
I told him to stick with the yellow. But,
yeah.
But, you know, I mean, there's an excellent example. I mean, and Eureka seems to be on the cutting edge right now of wanting to do that.
It'll be interesting to see. I mean, certainly there's more than enough opportunity for that kind of thing to happen.
Sure.
And to happen smoothly if the will is there.
Right.
We've been talking shop this afternoon with Mike Downey. Thanks for coming by, bud.
Thank you.
Have a quiet weekend, okay?
All right.
Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.